And right now, we kick things off by talking Boston sports as we're joined on the Tiller and Ride telephone line by Dave D'Onofrio of the Union Leader. Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich.
Well, I've been an interesting stretch here for the Boston Red Sox. How much rope is left for Joe Kelly as a member of that Red Sox starting rotation?
You wonder what the circumstances of his acquisition play into it. We've already seen Alan Craig go down to the minors, and if you think back to last July, it was Craig and it was Kelly that came in for John Lackey. And wouldn't John Lackey look quite fitting on this rotation right now? He'd probably be your number one guy. So, you know, they made that move, and they said, these are two guys who are going to help us not only in 2015 but moving forward. Right now, one of those guys is in AAA after every other major league team passed on him on waivers. And the other guy is doing what he did yesterday, and it's ugly. The tantalizing thing about him is the fastball, and that makes you think he could potentially fit in at the back end of the bullpen somewhere. He does have closing experience. He did it in college. How much leash is left on him as a starter? I'm not sure, but there's a lot of different factors at play here.
Well, and you mentioned the fastball, and it seems to be that very pitch that's been deserting him. His inability to spot it has been part of the problem.
Absolutely. That's a big concern. If that's your moneymaker and you can't put it in the right spot, it's an issue. Major league hitters are going to catch up to 95, 96, no matter, you know, if you put it in the wrong spot, they're going to hit it, no matter how hard it's coming in.
So that two-game win streak, was that just an illusion? Is the team what they've been for most of the first 40 games?
You could look at it that way, especially if you take Mike Napoli's production and look at what the rest of the lineup did. And yeah, Bogaerts had four hits on Sunday, and they scored some runs. But if Napoli doesn't hit the ball over the wall, you know, you might not feel as good coming out of that Angel series as you did. Obviously, Napoli's a big part of what they do, and if he can get rolling here, obviously, it'll help them. AL Player of the Week last week. They need more of that, but they also need guys like David Ortiz and Hanley Ramirez to start doing what they do. Pablo Sandoval. It needs to be more than one guy. So in the sense that, you know, their issues are far from solved, yeah, that two-game winning streak, quote-unquote, is probably a little bit misleading. But it felt good for at least a couple days.
Well, if they do make a change, whether it's Joe Kelly or somewhere else, is Rodriguez the next guy in?
I think either him or Brian Johnson. I would probably say Rodriguez, just because, you know, they got him in the Andrew Miller deal. Maybe they're looking for quicker return on that than they are with Johnson, the guy they drafted and have developed. Either of those guys, though, I think would be the call. And at that point, you know, maybe you have to manage expectations a little bit, because people are going to look at those guys as savior types in a spot that's currently held by Kelly or Wright. And the truth of the matter is, asking a rookie to come in and sort of save your staff is probably not a good idea.
We're talking with Dave D'Onofrio, the New Hampshire Union Leader here on Downtown. Dave, is there leadership on this team right now, and where is it coming from?
Good question. I mean, I think Ortiz and Pedroia are the leaders in there. Napoli does some as well. As far as the pitching staff goes, though, a guy like Buchholz has the most seniority. We remember those T-shirts he had printed in spring training. Maybe he wants to be a leader, but, you know, he doesn't strike me as the type who's really going to take charge of much. And that could be an issue with the pitching staff. That could be an issue with why Juan Nieves was let go so quickly, is because they're looking for someone to have a voice, someone to get in there and either say what needs to be said or change the approach or do something to make things better. It's a legitimate concern. And, you know, if a guy like Ortiz, we just mentioned the struggles a minute ago, tonight he's down to fifth in the lineup. If he doesn't produce and his voice starts to go away, or he starts, you know, getting upset with things in the other direction, that leadership issue becomes even more of a problem.
All right, let's switch to Patriots. I'm sure that'll be much more uplifting. Tom Brady, is he really prepared to take this as far as possible?
Yeah, I think with the union's backing, if you're of the belief that the NFL has sort of turned this into a case where Roger Goodell could get some credibility back, where he could sort of flex his muscle, and the NFL has taken on their golden boy as a chance to, you know, get things straight in-house, I think the NFLPA is taking the same opportunity to use a marquee guy on a marquee team in a situation that's just been exploded on as far as attention goes, and really shine the light on Roger Goodell. And if you believe that that's the case, I think they're going to fight this thing to the wall. I wouldn't be surprised if Goodell hears Brady's appeal, reduces the two games, and the union still wants to fight it further. I think if Brady thinks he's innocent, and if the Wells report is really all the NFL has, there's no reason he should be suspended, in my opinion. And I think the NFLPA is going to fight and do everything they can do to get that reduced to zero if they believe their case is as strong as publicly it looks like it is.
If they did reduce this to two, do you think Bob Kraft would go to his quarterback and say, let's put this behind us and move on? Does he want this just to go away?
Kraft does, for sure. Whether or not he would go to Brady or whether or not he would, you know, let the quarterback do what he needs to do, I think Brady, in Kraft's statement a couple weeks ago or last week, whenever it was, all this stuff went ahead for me at this point, but in Kraft's statement, when he talked about ending the rhetoric, a big part of what he made clear was that he was doing what he thought was best for himself, for the organization, for the legacy of the Patriots, not necessarily the legacy of Brady. Now, who knows? There might have been a back-channel deal. If Goodell comes out and wipes everything off the books for Brady, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, he and Kraft sort of had a plea deal going. But short of that, I think Kraft has left us and left Brady to handle his own business, because Kraft has done the same for himself.
So with all this in mind and things still brewing in the background, does Jimmy Garoppolo approach preseason in a far different way?
I think so. It'll be really interesting to see how the reps go down at OTAs this week and also, you know, in the preseason, not only in the games, but in practice. You have to kind of plan on, at least at this point, I'm pretty missing four games. So Garoppolo has to be ready.
Dave D'Onofrio covers Boston sports for the Union Leader. Dave, always great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us, and we'll catch up again soon.
Anytime, Rich. Thanks.
13 after 5 o'clock. It's downtown here.